Welcome to the Las Vegas Weekly Nightlife Podcast, Nocturnal Admissions. I'm Deanna Rilling. In studio today, we have Miss Brittany Starr.
Hello, hello.
Brittany is in studio with us this week because we have the Adult Entertainment Expo going on in Las Vegas, and there's a lot of really cool, fun, sexy stuff going on. Miss Starr is going to be around town signing autographs, working with Sapphire, all kinds of great stuff.
Absolutely. So. Sapphire's Gentlemen's Club. Actually, I'll be in the booth on Friday and Saturday at AVN, so come and check me out, and I will give you a nice autograph picture.
So to start off with, for people that might not be as familiar with your career, you've done a lot of stuff from television to singing to, and of course, the adult entertainment industry.
So absolutely.
Where do you think we should start? What have you done? You got all these different hats that you wear.
Well, currently, you know, everyone knows I've been on VH1. I'm a VH1 reality star from Charm School and Rock of Love Bus with Brett Michaels, which was absolutely crazy. So if you want to touch on that real quick. And then also, I currently DJ around the world. I will be in Indonesia next. I just came back from the Philippines, and I'm going to be also doing a private Vivid party here for the AVN convention at the Venetian.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you mentioned the reality show stuff. How did that come about?
How did the reality stuff come about? Actually, they found me on my MySpace, mm-hmm. and there was about, I think, 5 or 6 of us that were kind of tokens, if you will, that they put in, like, in between people. Like, how do I explain this? Let's see. They have girls that were there to actually compete and then that didn't know what was going on, and then they had other girls that they had staged there. So they came to me on my MySpace, said I was a DJ. They thought my profile was cool, so they had me come in for an interview and, you know, psychological testing, and they make you do a blood test and all this other crazy stuff, and then they asked me to be on the show. Yeah, they asked me if I wanted to be on a TV show. I said, sure, why not? Fun.
Wait, you said psychological testing?
Like they do. That's what people don't understand. You know, they made me out to look like this crazy person. And don't get me wrong, I am crazy, but most of the time in a fun way. I'm the first to take my top off at a party. Oops, don't tell my mom. No. But, you know, as far as VH1 goes, though, they make you take a psychological evaluation. They put you through a personality test. Hmm. And so they really know. They know personality A doesn't get along with personality B. Let's put them in the same bunk room. Bed and see what happens. And that's what happens, is you look like a complete crazy person. And with editing and everything else, they kind of have what role they want you to play into from the moment you get there. Mm-hmm. So I kind of knew what was going on. It's unfortunate that I got portrayed so badly, but it is what it is. It was fun. I did a reality show, and everybody pretty much loves me now outside. Everyone that sees me is like, oh, Brittany Starr, you were my favorite. We loved you. I can't believe you got picked on. They suck. And how strong were you of a person that you were able to hold yourself back from ever hitting someone? Mm-hmm. You know, definitely.
Yeah. Now, are there any favorite moments from the shows or moments that were misinterpreted?
Oh, my favorite time was when I sprayed the girl in the face with a fire extinguisher. It was awesome. She deserved it. I mean, she wouldn't get off my bunk, and I'm like, dude, I don't want to kill you. I don't want to hit you. I don't want to do this because, you know, I've been trained in some martial arts and things like that, and you're taught to completely try to avoid violence at all costs. So, I mean, even though I was pushed and choked and provoked and stuff like that, I tried to back off and hold myself. I think the strength was in holding myself back, being a strong person, because I wasn't threatened for my life, so I really didn't need to retaliate.
Now, there were probably some moments on the show that were misinterpreted. Would you like to dispel any confusion?
Big time. Well, misinterpreting, I'm definitely two things. One thing I'm definitely not is a thief. I've never stolen a thing in my life ever from anyone. Not even a pack of gum from a store.
Or socks.
And no, but that's what I'm saying. This interview's gone on and on. I mean, it's everywhere. If you go to VH1.com, they actually go back and interview you, knowing that, you know, they were the ones that edited you and let you tell your side of the story. We were in an ice skating rink, and they had tons of pairs of black socks and knee socks that weren't used because you have to put on 2 or 3 pairs in case your ice skates were too big. That was all it was. And so there was about 50 pairs left, and I was like, oh, my gosh, you're going to throw those in the trash to the custodian? And the custodian goes, oh, yeah. And I'm like, well, they're brand new. Why would you throw them in the trash? Why don't you give them to a shelter or something? God, there's people out there that can use them. I'm like, if you don't want them, can I have them? Because I'll donate them. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's like, oh, yeah, sure. And he gave them to me, and then they get me going in the locker room collecting the socks when he said I could have them. I mean, if I'm a thief and I wanted to steal something, I'd definitely not let the cameras catch me.
Right.
You know, not that I would ever take anything. things. So when I went there, I put them in my bag. And how disgusting of a person do you have to be to go through someone's personal belongings, which I would never do. It's disrespectful and rude. And they're trying to say, oh, she stole our socks, and because I folded them in the little bundles. They were brand new socks. Come on now. Like, I really need to, you know, I'm a successful DJ, singer, songwriter. I really don't think I need to steal socks.
Right.
I can buy my own. Thank you.
So,
I actually did donate the sock to the Shade Tree Shelter here in Vegas,
oh, nice.
Too, when I got back. Yeah.
Very cool. They're a good charity. You do a lot of charity work.
Oh,
actually.
Yeah. I'm a big, avid believer in one.org. I donate a lot of my time to the No Kill Animal Sanctuary. Mm-hmm. Also donate money and time to NSPCA, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. Mm-hmm. Oh, another thing on the show, Brett Michaels, they say you have to get him a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to get a gift that kind of told us about ourselves, or told about ourselves. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so I wanted to show him my heart, mm-hmm. and who I was inside. So I donated $500 in his honor, mm-hmm. to the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, knowing he had diabetes, and my father did, and my half-sister did as well. Mm-hmm. Luckily, it skipped my generation. Thank God. So I didn't have to deal with it, but I am hypoglycemic. But since I, you know, what do you give a rock star that has everything? You donate to his favorite charity. I got misty-eyed when I... was presenting the gift, and I, you know, since I got a little misty-eyed, then they made us write these fake wedding vows, which I took the challenge seriously and wrote wedding vows that if I was in love with this person, that's what I would have read. Not that, oh my God, I'm in love with Bert Michaels. But, you know, and so it showed me, they cut out the whole entire gift, which sucks because I wanted them to get, you know, JDFR to get a little bit of,
right.
you know, publicity on it. And they showed me crying like an idiot, reading wedding vows to Brett Michaels. Oh my God, she's psycho. She's in love with him. And they're so funny how they can make you look like this complete idiot. It really is crazy.
But no hard feelings.
Oh, right? Not at all. I knew what I was getting into before I got there. I mean,
right.
They called me to be on a TV show. So I figured they might have something up their sleeve on what they want me to make, you know, to make me look like. If I'm not stutter stepping, I'm getting beside myself.
Now, you mentioned, you know, like Shade Tree and the No Kill Shelter out here. So you've been in Vegas for a very long time. Were you
my
born here?
My entire life. Born and raised. I'm actually third generation Vegas. My mom and father were from here. My grandparents were from here. They actually met singing for Bugsy Siegel. They were both show people. So,
cool.
Yeah, come from a long history of Vegas line.
Cool. And then... your whole family was from out here. Now, you originally got into the industry because of your sister, correct?
Yeah, my older sister, Terry Starr, she was a big porn star back in the day, and I had just met my second boyfriend, and, you know, he kind of wanted to get serious, and I wasn't sure if I was quite ready, but I kind of wanted to dabble and experiment in sexual things. So we ended up, my sister called me and said, I have a great guy. You can get paid lots of money, and you can, you know, just have sex. I know you're horny and you're curious. So we did a threesome with another girl, and we had a lot of fun. It was very interesting, and it kind of just went from there. It was something I did with my ex. It's not something I'm interested in anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But we also took it to another level. When I was there, I was watching how they were filming, what they were doing, the lights, camera, action, and I said, wow, this is what I want to do. I want to make money off this.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it to the next level and became a producer and director of my own video lines. One is my first porn scene. The other one's Party Bus Pussy Patrol. I also put out a title called... Juicy Sluts, and that's like an all-girl, it's hot too. That's one of my favorites. And I also did some co-producing with Sky Blue Productions, Platinum Blue,
mm-hmm.
Airgasmic, Pearl Necklace with Nick Manning, which was also mentioned on Howard Stern, things like that. It's a fun industry. I'm not doing that anymore though. I'm really concentrating on my singing songwriting. I've been writing songs, basically poetry, since I was a young girl. And I took one of those poems and made it into a song, and it was a success. And then I wrote the other song called I Want to Fuck the DJ.
Which is awesome,
oh,
by the
thanks.
Way. It's fun. No, it's a really fun song. It's so true, though. It's like,
thank you.
You always see the
Everybody's
girls up
so
there.
Everybody's so crazy about the DJ,
well,
I know.
Well, no, you could just take any random person, put them up there, put headphones on them, and they might even not be spinning, and all the girls would be like,
oh my God.
Who's
the DJ?
Yeah.
I want to fuck the DJ.
It's like, it's the sound guy. Calm down.
I was actually in Dre's, and Chris Garcia was spinning. Who Chris Garcia is a very dear friend of mine, and he was the one that got me kind of interested in the DJ thing. He's like, no, it's okay, it's easy, I can teach you. He's so cute with his little accent. And so me and my girlfriend are sitting in Dre's, and she goes, ooh, she goes, Brittany, I want to fuck the DJ. And I'm like, Lena, he's hot, I wouldn't mind fucking him too, you know, hey, let's do this. And so I go, let's have a threesome, baby. And she goes, I'm going home with you. And I'm like, oh my God, we just wrote lyrics. I want to fuck the DJ, I want to fuck him, you know. I was like, it rhymes. I was like, I'm writing this down. So I start writing it down. down all crazy drunken Dre's, you know, about Chris
so it's
Garcia.
Like 8 a.m., 9 a.m.
So whether, you know, I mean, I'm not like that with Chris Garcia. We're very tight friends, just friends, never had done anything. But it was just like a silly thing that we were flirting with him saying, and it became a song, and it became a hit song. I sang it on Howard Stern Live. I mean, how amazing is that? I mean, I'm living my dream here in Las Vegas. How many people can say they are honestly living their dream?
Right.
Everything I've ever kind of wanted to do for myself. I said I wanted to write a song. I wrote the song. I recorded it. I said I want to hear it on the radio. And now actually my mainstream stuff is playing on the radio as well. Then There Was You has been playing on satellite radio. Mm-hmm. And, you know, We Love You Las Vegas that I did with Buckley has been playing on the radio, and DJs play it all over the world as well.
Right. Actually, I heard Oakenfold spin that at Perfecto one night.
Yeah,
and,
definitely. He's one of my best friends, actually.
Yeah,
closest
I had met
friends.
Him before I knew you, and realize you were the one on the song. So, I mean, That track's doing pretty good in the clubs. And then you also have some other things in the works. So you've got an album that you're working on?
Yeah, the album is called Counting Stars. It does feature some remixes of my mainstream music. I have, I think, 1 through 10 or 1 through 9 is all mainstream stuff, mm-hmm. like guitar, kind of Alanis Morissette, Sheryl Crow type of feel, mm-hmm. kind of poppy a little bit, maybe even Britney Spears, Madonna-ish, if mm-hmm. you will, but with my voice. Mm-hmm. Just fun original tracks that I've written all myself. There was also a few other people that co-wrote some things with me. And then I took those and made them into remixes. Matt Plays worked on some things, Dino DeMaria, you know, Oakenfold's Perfecto, some of his Perfecto DJs worked on it. Mm-hmm. So just a few remixes, and you'll be able to get all that on the album as well from the mainstream. And there's some great club mixes. Secrets is a really good one that Matt Play did that's a lot of fun that I used to play on my radio show as well.
Cool. Now, for you, when did you first gain an interest in DJing specifically, and who taught you?
Believe it or not, I was actually hanging out after an event that Paul Oakenfold played at, which, you know, we were up in the room partying, hanging out, just having drinks with some friends, and there were some tables there that he practices on, and I kind of put a CD in, and I, you know, started to play with it, and he goes, look, I go, oh my god, I don't want to touch the decks, I'm scared of them. I'm like, no way, because, you know, DJs to me were like the gods of the nightclub world, if you will, not god, but, you know, godlike kind of, mm-hmm. oh my god, everybody wants to know the DJ. And since Paul was my good friend, and I was lucky enough to get to know him years ago at the Winter Music Conference, he's like, here, try it. Here, I'll just this little thing. And he just taught me how to beat match real quick, and I picked it up within 5 minutes, and he goes, Brittany, you're a natural. If you practice, he's like, if you really try and practice, he's like, you can beat match right now. And I only taught you 5 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. He's like, either you have an ear for it or you don't. And he goes, I think that you should pursue this. So him giving me that little push made me, I took lessons from DJ Inferno. Mm-hmm. Billy, he's a great friend of mine as well. And then Chris Garcia taught me a few things. My good friend Brian from 702DJ.com taught me a few things. So just picked up little things here and there. You know, now I'm actually trying to work with a good friend of mine, Mika Gold, and DJ Miss Dust. They're also Chocolate Milk Experience. They're great. So we all learn little tricks of the trade from each other. There's a few things I figured out on the Pioneer Mixer that other people can't do either. And I'm like, hey, check this out. This sounds cool. And they're like, wow, how'd you do that? And I teach them, you know, so we just... Over the years, pick it up. There's so much to learn.
Now, I know for me, as someone who I interview, like, a lot of DJs and producers and everything, but there's a very, it's kind of a lot of, like, a lot of female DJs get a lot of flack in the industry because there's so much, there's either, like, girls that are just totally into it, like, turntablists, or then there's kind of, like, the pretty DJs, or do you think that, as a female DJ, there's more attention placed on appearance rather than skill?
Well, I think that being a female DJ with an appearance can help you book gigs. But if you don't have talent at all, please stay away. I mean, you know, if you can beat match and you're not train wrecking all the time, then hey, go for it. Try to be a DJ. That's fine. But the looks do help. They do help. But I do think that you really do need to have some sort of talent, because if you don't, you really shouldn't be there train wrecking people's ears and their screech and like the songs. Stops and, you know, stuff that is just unheard of. You don't want to hear when you go to a nightclub. I don't care how pretty the DJ is. I want to hear good music when I go out to dance, and I also want to provide that for someone else. I want to make their night the best night they ever had because the music was awesome. Mm-hmm. Who cares what I look like?
Do you think there's a lot of skeptics from the guys in the industry and a lot of haters maybe?
You know what? It's actually jealousy, because a lot of the female DJs are taking over as power players and taking their position. Sorry, guys. You know what? You know, you guys had your run. You've been the top of the line forever. And now, you know what? The females are kind of taking over. And there's some great female DJs out there, you know? The one thing you got to know, and the one piece of advice I give to everybody out there trying to be a DJ, is that you need to know that you are not the best and that you never will be the best. I mean, maybe you'll be the best for a minute, but there you have to remember there's always more to learn. You've never, that's what I meant to say, you've never mastered it all. Mm-hmm. You're never going to be the master because there's always going to be that one other thing, that new equipment or that new sound or that new thing that came out. You're always learning. And if you're always learning and you never have a big head, you really might go far in the business. Just keep it real. Keep it on the, you know, keep your head small, if you will. What do you say? Oh, keep it humble. That's what I meant to say. Yes.
So for you, who do you kind of cite as some of your inspirations as far as music, whether electronic or otherwise?
Well, I mean, of course, Oakenfold. But otherwise, as far as that goes, Madonna, I think, is a very good role model. She pushed it for women. She went over the top, did the little pointy cone boobs, and like everyone gave her flack. But look at her now. She's mega superstar and made it okay for females to be a little more risque with music and, you know, be sexy about it. And everybody gave her flack, but she's on top of the world. Good for her. Britney Spears, I think, is another amazing person. But as far as singing and things like that, I'm really into the R&B artists. Like Luther Vandross, God bless his soul, was one of my favorite singers. And believe it or not, I loved Brittany Murphy, God bless her, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a shame. I guess the good do die young, you know. So God bless them. But I love Stacey Q. I like all the 80s artists and things like that. And don't get me wrong, I like my Jay-Z and, you know, some of my funky hip-hop mm-hmm. stuff. But I loved Eazy-E, N.W.A. Naughty, naughty. I really did. I was a little gangster, I think. Well, wannabe, if you will.
Yeah.
Back in high school.
So as far as the future for you, your primary focus seems to be music right now.
Absolutely. It has been my whole life, actually. Yeah. I think that the adult stuff was, believe it or not, a stepping stone mm-hmm. to be able to get my name and face recognition out there. And I became famous doing that. So getting out there, then, you know, when I did become a actual singer and recorded the music, because I've always sang and I've always written, mm-hmm. you know, once I got it out there, though, I went to Howard Stern and I contacted each other and he's like, oh, you wrote a song called I Want to Fuck the DJ. You're a porn star trying to be a singer. And I laughed at him and I go, no, I'm a porn star that is a singer because look at I'm on your show and I'm singing a song. And he's like, oh, touche. And then right from then he knew I was witty and he kind of backed off and he did an interview for 45 minutes. Like, who gets interviewed for 45 minutes on Howard Stern about their life? Pam Anderson, things like that. I felt like this huge deal. I mean, it was the biggest honor, one of the biggest honors of my life was to be on Howard Stern and have him treat me with the respect that he treated me with on that show.
So just kind of to
wrap. I love Robin, too. She's so cute. Okay. She came out of her booth. She's such a germaphobe. She came out of her booth and gave me a hug. They're like, Brittany, you must have been a really special guest because Robin doesn't ever come out of her booth to give anybody a hug. I felt so honored. So sorry.
Oh, okay. For you, just kind of wrap it up, what do you think maybe are some of the biggest misconceptions that people have about you that you'd kind of like to clear up, whether about your music or any other aspect of your career?
Misconceptions. I'm definitely not stupid. I am a college graduate. You know, I excelled in high school as an international baccalaureate. I definitely have a good brain. I'm a good business person. I'm very successful.
Wait, did you go to Valley High School?
Green Valley.
Oh, Green Valley. Okay.
Yeah, Green Valley, actually. And I don't know. I just have misconceptions. I'm not a thief. I'm a go-getter. And, you know, a lot of people may misconceive me as stupid or a bitch or some dumb, crazy porn star. I might be a little crazy because I could get the party started. But as far as what TV showed me, that's so not me. And everyone that knows me is like, that's not my Britney. There's no way. If you knew the girl I know, there's no way in hell that's the same girl. So that's the misconception. TV is edited. They take 3 days of your life and edit it down to the worst 15 minutes that they can possibly find of those 3 days. And that's what it is, basically. So I'm a cool girl. Come down and meet me yourself, and you make your own judgment call. I'll be at that Sapphire booth at AVN this Friday and Saturday. I will also be doing some promotions at Sapphire's, as well as a little dancing Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night as well. So come see me tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and I'd love to meet you. And then you can make your own judgment call.
Cool. And yeah. If people want to learn more about you, what's the best place to check you out?
Oh, awesome. You could check me out on my MySpace page. That would be myspace.com/Britney Star Music. And I'll spell that out for you. My name is spelled BRITTANEYSTARR. And then music, of course, is spelled MUSIC. So Britney Star Music. And also, you can find my music on iTunes. You can check out the October 4th, 2007 Howard Stern that I was on. And you can also find me by MySpace if you ever want to have a crazy party or anything else. I also rent my house out for parties and photo shoots. I have a beautiful home up in Green Valley. And VIP hosting. I have an array of gorgeous females that will take you out and party like a porn star and get crazy with a bunch of hotties. We will show you the best time of your life out here in Vegas because, like I said, I was born here. I'm a native. Let the natives take you out.
Cool. So if anybody wants to learn more about you as far as upcoming DJ gigs or what you've got going on, they can also check out our website at lasvegasweekly.com. For all the nightlife information and adult guides and everything else you could be interested in.
And if you want to book Brittany Starr, go ahead and email that at lasvegasweekly.com and they'll hit me up. They'll get a hold of me directly. So
yep.
Love to meet you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in today.
And
it was a pleasure.
Thank you. It was an honor. Thank you.
Have fun at AEE.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks again.
Awesome. Take care, sweetie.
Bye-bye.